This is so exciting.
Go
back. We're live. I know. Hey, you're guys.
Live.
Yay.
Welcome to Lais and the Coach. And we have a special guest today.
So special.
So special.
I feel special.
Honestly, this comes really full circle because years ago, Lais and I would watch Carrie on her podcast.
Every day.
Every day. Yep. So before we get into any of this, if you saw my post, Carrie is 10 days out from the WBFF Orlando show, and we're going to talk all about that today. But before we get into any of that, it would not be right if we introduce Carrie because there's just so much to say. So it would be awesome if you could kind of give everybody a rundown of who you are, what you do.
Talk about you. I'm pretty sure that was just your way out of having to do my part.
No way.
I know, because it's very extensive.
It's like, it's so cool to not be the one like doing the opening.
Right.
The show, and just be able to sit here being the guest. It's awesome. You just like kind of want my background?
Well, you know what?
Who am I? What do I do?
It's funny because we interact all the time on social media, right? But the people that maybe watch our show don't get the full gist of everything that you do. Maybe because I've shared Brian Carey in the Morning many, many times.
Okay, me too.
But there's so much more to you than just that.
Okay. I can give a rundown because I think a lot of people actually think I'm a fitness coach more often than not. I actually get a lot of people messaging me and asking me about fitness coaching. I am not a fitness coach anymore. I was for a period of time. Okay, my name's Carrie. I'm 42, I think. I don't remember how old I am. And I am a fitness competitor, but that's really just a small part of my life. So, you know, it's a crazy story how we all met. And that kind of like loops in, right? I'll tell the story. I feel like I need to rush. I don't need to rush.
Take your time.
So my husband and I, Brian, I'm a clinical counselor. And he has a PhD in postural counseling, as well as years and years and years in the performance industry around sports performance and mindset-based stuff. 10 years ago, when we got together, we started the process of, you know, kind of debunking all the things that were going wrong in the self-help world. You know, we started to identify these patterns where everybody was, you know, they read the books, they went to the events, and they all got it. But then there was nothing happening in their life. That changeover wasn't happening. So we were like, what's that gap? And how do we fix it, essentially? And that began a 10-year journey of us building what we now refer to as our Eliminate Your Limits mindset system. And to kind of shortcut the long, short story of that, it's essentially an entire system and process to uncovering your negative narratives, your unconscious stories that are not serving you, and rewiring the unconscious mind. I'm not going to get too scientific. I think most people are really familiar with the language that our thoughts control our actions.
Yes.
And it's so much deeper than just say nice things or say good things. There's really a whole matrix of rewiring on the unconscious level and the brain level. So Brian and I created this whole system, which has led us down the road of, you know, we have so many different things that we do. We have a business that's got a, you know, it's kind of like a partner, a business where we teach coaches how to use mindset and then build a business out of that and make money. I run a program called the Unstoppable Woman Project, which is all about women in essence, becoming unstoppable. It's kind of self-explanatory in the sentence there. And then together, you know, we have a bunch of different things that we do together. You know, years ago, we hosted Brian Carey in the Morning, which was a 5-day-a-week live stream, which is where we met you guys. So true story, this is what used to happen all the time. Lais would come on to the show, and we'd be like, Lais? 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 How do you say your name? And so, you know, you guys used to tune into the show, so we obviously knew your name. And we were living in north of Montreal in Canada. We moved to Florida, and this is like so fun. We after we moved here, we found out we had to get remarried again. And because we didn't have our documentation, because we didn't actually file it, because we didn't really care about it. And so I was like, you know, let's just throw this like this wedding, invite people who are around in Miami that we know and, you know, want to get to know better. And so I messaged you one day and I was like, hey, you want to come to our wedding? You know? I was like, what? I was like, out of the blue, right? And so that's how we kind of got connected and became friends and, you know, everything that we are. And so, you know, that's kind of what I do. And, you know, we have some, you know, we have some pretty big projects we're working on. We're currently in the process of our Eliminate Your Limit system being integrated countrywide into the Army.
Wow.
Which is not, we don't really talk much about that because it's still in the very early stages. We're in the process of building the first ever app technology for youth that's all based around mindset and mental health. And we have some partnerships with the musician Pitbull, and that's why we're down here. We have a radio show on Sirius XM 145. So that's kind of like the...
That's awesome.
See, we could have never said all
imagine
that. We know that.
I know that.
I'm
talking
about myself.
I know,
know,
but we know
that's
that.
That's why I was talking about you.
And I know, I was like, okay. And I'm a mom of two kids plus two kind of in-laws now and two baby doggies. And I live 8 minutes away from Lyon.
Yes. Yes.
And true story, we moved to St. Cloud purposely. We live 8 minutes away from Raph and Lyon.
So,
no joke.
Obviously, we want to bring some awareness to the whole competition thing, but not in the way that most people view it, right? So I think that one of the reasons that we wanted to talk to you before your show is because of that. But you've competed before.
I have.
And then you didn't.
Yeah.
Right? But what brought you full circle? Like, what brought you around again?
This one, honestly, but I'll give you the full story. So yeah, I've been into physique athletics since I was 16. I've loved the whole nature of how we can sculpt the human body. I find it so fascinating. And years ago, like back in my 20s, I started dabbling with the idea of competing. It didn't really happen at that time. But then about 10 years ago, I did compete and loved everything about prep, but hated everything about competing for the federation that I competed for back then. Because, you know, I'm one of those crazies who loves the prep. And everybody gives me like backwards look when I say that. But I love the prep. I love the cutting. I love the work. I love pouring into that for myself. And I remember I got on stage and I was just like, you know, it's like you're on and off. Like, I remember I was backstage.
So quick.
I was backstage and I was like, you know, can this be done so I can eat the bag of goodies that my husband bought for me from Starbucks? Like, that's really how I felt at that point. So I kind of retired from competing 10 years ago, had no intentions of going back to it. But for my 40th birthday, you know, I cut into my best physique ever. And then I was like, you know, I want to prep even better than ever. And I was like, you know, if I'm going to prep, like I'm going to get on stage, maybe I should get on stage. And that coincided. It was about a month after the random wedding invitation, but it coincided with your AC show for the WBFF. And I watched everything on your Instagram stories and just fell in love with it. I'm like, what's this with the wings and the fanfare and the red carpet and all that stuff? And so I was hooked at that point, and I knew, and I think then came the message to Lyon where it was like, will you coach me to get on stage again? Because I was like, you know, I wanted to up level myself and give myself a reason to just keep chiming in better and better and better. And I just didn't want to do it for 30 seconds to get on stage.
Right.
Like, I had actually reformatted my entire cycles to always end in a very elaborate photo shoot, you know, that I built and put together creatively with the team. I had a whole team in Montreal who used to work with me on that. So the WBFF represented everything that I was already working on, but you get to compete, which was, you know, like
you get to actually step on stage.
And I think that that's one of the things that we always say to everyone that we work with, like, you need to have something at the end, like a timeline deadline.
Which is why I always had the photo shoot.
Right, something that you're working toward, you know, and obviously we know that the stage is not for everyone.
I disagree. I think it is for everyone.
But you don't have to finish.
you just don't know it yet.
Story of my life.
Come on.
We should get Brian here, then we can all interrupt each other.
That the stage is not for everyone, but I do believe that everyone can do it.
Yes.
I do think that everyone should experience it. Whether or not they decide to pursue it is something different.
Yes.
But I do think that getting on stage presents an opportunity to reach a level in your physique that you just would not be driven to do otherwise.
Yeah. I can attest to that, because even as like when I was prepping just for photo shoots, it was a very like my you know, I know that in my life, by the like when I'm 65, I have every intention of looking better than I do now. Like okay. I only plan on going up, but I knew that I needed to have a different bar to reach, you know, because my photo shoots were great and I was always chiming in better. But now it's like, okay, well, if I really want to move into the fitness category, now I got to pack on more muscle,
right?
So it just gave me that extra edge towards really shaping the direction I was going in to, you know, level up really.
And I think that those are the moments where you see that you've got more in there.
Totally.
You know, as great as your photo shoots were, like you're like, well, there's still more.
You're going to rise up to the level of whatever goal you end up setting.
Right.
Even if you don't hit exactly what you want the first time around or second time around, what you're going for is exactly what you're going to get.
And that's one of the things that we usually talk about when we're telling people about the experience of pursuing the stage.
Mm-hmm.
It's really about the journey. It's really about getting there. But then that moment where you finally step out, it's like, look at everything that I've been working for. You know?
Totally. I've gotten like teary-eyed over that over the last couple of days.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, I was tanning yesterday because there's not much else to do in a tanning booth. And I was like, I was listening to music and I had this imagination that, you know, I won my pro card because that's what I'm targeting. Won my pro card, went back upstairs to my hotel room to change to head out with the team, right? And as I was like imagining this, like I recognized, like I got upstairs to my hotel room and I was all by myself and I just kind of started bawling my eyes out because it's been like a year and a half.
Yep.
Going
well,
we're gonna talk about that.
That's exactly where we were going next.
Yeah.
Because we all met. We met at Starbucks.
Yeah.
Right.
And I remember.
We talked.
We
about
all
it.
Interrupted each other a thousand times.
The whole time.
And in the best possible way.
For sure.
And so you started the journey, right? You say, okay, I'm gonna do it. You picked a show.
Yeah.
And then COVID hit.
Yeah.
But not COVID hit. Like we had girls getting ready for June that 2 months before they knew their show wasn't gonna happen.
Right.
COVID hit 2 weeks before your show.
Yeah. So
yes.
Yeah,
it hit right
that's
there.
That's right.
You
had flights, you had it all.
I was like, I mean, I had my flights, my suits, my dresses, everything. Yeah, and so I was it was April 4th, the show. It's amazing that I remember these dates. I think it was April 4th. And I was actually ready like a month out, like, you know, kind of just like coasting in,
mm-hmm.
you know, ready a month out. And then we got the notification like 2 weeks,
before. It was mid-March that
was canceled. And I was like,
and the show was in California, which was the first place to close.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, well, pivot. I mean, this is where I feel very grateful that what I do for a living is mindset, because
mm-hmm.
I had prepared for the pivot. But I was like, okay, let's pivot. Let's go for the next one, which was June in Orlando.
Which we all thought by then,
this
craziness would be over.
This will last.
I know.
That's 3 months. We're
and
good.
And then boom, that one got canceled.
They said 14 days.
Yeah.
3 months, we got this.
Yeah, it was like, you know, and I knew myself too, like after they had all been canceled, I knew that I had to do something to keep myself engaged. Because I do maintain it as a lifestyle, but I really wanted to get on stage.
Right. Like
you had
already made that.
And
cool.
I really like, so, I mean, I did a lot of things with the team and all that to just stay in the vision of where I was going. But let me tell you, I mean, we're 16 months past when I was supposed to compete. And I'm like, ready.
That's crazy.
And now we're 10 days out.
Mm-hmm. Now we're 10 days out. You're going to be on stage next week.
If it gets canceled, I'm going to.
It was never.
But. And I think that the one of the reasons that I wanted to start there was because how many times does that happen to anybody? Like they're getting ready for their thing, right? Their wedding, their vacation, their job promotion, and something happens, you know? And
life,
you know, that's how I'm like, life's going to happen.
Love
Be
happens.
Prepared. How did you...
Well,
since we have the expert here, we have to dive in deeper.
We're going
to
talk a little bit of mindset.
Right,
okay. So real quick, you know, the four pillars of mindset that we use as a daily practice inside of our program, learn your language, count your wins, review your direction, imagine your outcome. All four of those are really important, but I'll actually hone in on imagination for a second, because that was really the one that I think that I had to own. Like I had to own my, like, I'm highly adaptable as a human being in general. Not everybody is, but I am very adaptable. So I set my mindset up knowing, you know, with COVID, we knew that there was a chance things were going to get canceled, right? So I had already imagined the scenario. If it gets canceled, this is what I'm going to do. This is where I'm going to go. Not like if it gets canceled, oh my gosh,
right.
Like it's the end of the world. Like I knew if it gets canceled, I need to be prepared to plan and execute whatever was happening next. So I made sure that my imagination was really vivid around that. And interestingly enough, I just posted about imagination and detaching from the outcome and how important those two are together. Because, you know, it's really important to imagine where you're going and what you want and to visualize it with certainty that it's going to happen. But yet there's still things out of our control and we can never guarantee that, right? Like I'm imagining that pro card on next Saturday, but I'm not naive. Like there's a possibility I'm not going to get it, right? Because I'm not judging me, right? So there's a chance
you're
I'm not going to get it.
That.
And I often get the question, like, what's the point of imagining if you can't control the outcome? And I always say to people, well, you're increasing your odds is what you're doing. Because if I was imagining the end, you know,
that.
Like if I'm imagining the end of like COVID, it getting canceled and myself like in despair and like stopping the process, well, that's exactly what would have happened. But instead I imagined, okay, pivot, reroute. What am I going to do? How am I going to put things in place? So I imagine the outcome incredibly vividly, but I make sure I detach from it. Like knowing, and it's like I've imagined like already for this show coming up, and I know I'm kind of jumping back and forth, but
it makes sense
for this show coming up. I'm like, I've imagined not winning my pro card. And I'm like, okay, I'm on to Worlds. I'm going to go win it at Worlds. And if not, I'm going to win it another, like at another time. Like, I think that when you have a goal, whether it's to get on stage, to lose the weight, to win the pro card, to win the world title, which is what I'm after in the next 10 years. But whatever that goal is, you can't let anything shake it. Like you really have to own your mindset around it because things are going to try to shake it.
Why do you think that so many people get shaken? Because, and I mean it to every degree, like, why do you think that, you know, the smallest of circumstances could shift somebody so easily?
Yeah.
Do you think that that goal just wasn't really there in the first place?
Well, that's a really good question.
Or
like how
do we just let things interrupt us?
Yeah.
You know,
I think that's a really good question that I could answer 25 different ways.
depends, right?
Yeah.
Your favorite.
I would argue that, I would say that probably there is a potential that like that goal was not really the goal that somebody wanted, which is why I always ask people to make sure that they understand the drivers behind their goal, right? Because I think sometimes people set goals. Actually, I think most of the time people set goals out of scarcity, out of pain, you know, like I'm overweight and I want to lose weight and I don't feel good enough. I feel insecure. I feel like I'm not worthy. So that ends up catalyzing the goal. The problem is for a lot of people that actually ends up being the thing that maintains it along the way, as opposed to changing the driver along the way, right? As you continue along your goal and you start to see changes, eventually the driver has to shift from that scarcity of like, I need to change fast now because I'm insecure or whatever.
Happy, yeah.
Right. As like at some point along the way, it has to change from eliminating something to creating something. Right. So you're eliminating the weight, you're eliminating the insecurity, et cetera, but at a certain point, it's got to be like, man, I want this.
Right.
And you have to shift that right around there. And I really just think like if we're talking about it, like on a broad scale, I think that as a society, we're not skilled in mindset or emotional intelligence. You know, it's one of the reasons we're bringing what we do to youth and to schools, because we're not taught in school how to be emotionally resilient.
We're not taught much.
We're not taught mindset. We're not given the tools to learn how to adapt and how to pivot and how to navigate it. And so we have a society of a lot of people who are walking around self-aware, lacking self-awareness.
Right.
So I really think that it, you know, because a program's a program, right? Like it's easy to write a program and
right.
give it. And nobody, like, I'm going to sound kind of blunt when I say this, but I'm sitting next
Please.
To you guys. So probably not.
We don't censor here.
Like, people, like, nobody's stupid enough not to understand walk 15 minutes, eat an apple over the chips, right? Or bite whatever the case may be.
Right.
Like, nobody's like that unintelligent,
right?
So it's not an intelligence factor. It's not a lack of knowledge. It's the reason people aren't executing comes down to mindset. It comes down to mindset and what's driving the truck on the inside. I mean, at least that's what my years of experience.
Well, you know, I say it all. I literally say it every day when I chat with somebody. I'm like, you could download anything off the internet, right?
100%.
You could download a diet. You could download a workout.
Yep.
The way I prescribe push-ups and the way any other coach prescribes push-ups is the same.
Yeah.
You know, that isn't the reason that something will or won't work.
Right.
But I think that it's important to cover what happened next. Yeah. So you find out not only that the show is canceled, so you move to this next show, but we're all in limbo.
Yeah. Like there's a possibility
because,
it won't happen.
Because we really didn't know what was going to happen. It's not like, listen, the show's canceled. They're going to move the venue. They're just going to move the date.
Right.
It was limbo, limbo. No one knew.
And let me tell you, it's hard to continue prep when you prepped for 16 weeks. You were ready. You were shredded. And anybody who's prepped knows what that means, right? And then you have another 8 weeks to go. I was like, mind fuck.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know if I can swear.
Yes, you can.
Okay. Like, I was like, mind fuck, right? Like, holy crap. Like, I have another 8 weeks to go, right?
Shit.
And it was like, I really had to reshift and pivot. In order to kind of keep pushing that out. And I did. And, you know, you and I had a really great conversation about this last year, and I'm sure you remember, but it stuck in my mind. You were like, because I've prepped so many times. Like, I've been 6 years consistently, I've been doing this. So prep for me is, it's like easy, you know, like I'm perfect on my stuff. I don't miss things unless like I happen to get sick, right? And you made the comment to me, you know, I think that, you know, with your experience, it's almost like you needed almost like the challenge to get there. Like, it's like there needed to be something to make your
journey in your way
that much more worth it, you know? Mm-hmm. And oh boy, everything has gotten in my way. Like, this was not an ideal prep this time. Like, there was a lot of factors going on in life in general.
We know.
It's been insane. So, you know, the story you tell is the truth, you know, which is
our favorite quote of all time.
It comes from these people. Yes.
If you read my emails, if you read my, that I say that to everybody, almost every day.
We always quote that.
Because the interaction that I have with my clients is on a daily basis, and it's a reoccurring theme,
yeah,
right?
It's so true. You know, the beautiful thing about the unconscious mind is that it doesn't know real from imagined. So whatever you tell it is what it's going to believe. If you tell yourself, I'm going to fall on stage, I'm going to fall on stage, I'm going to fall on stage, you're going to fall on stage. If you tell yourself, you know, I don't know how I'm going to resist the food at the party, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, you see yourself eating the food, you're going to eat the food.
Right.
So the story you tell is the truth, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, after that conversation you and I had, that's just the story I adopted. I adopted the story of like, this is happening for a reason. Mm-hmm. This is like, I even told myself, if I had won my pro card in April in California, it's almost like it would have been too easy,
right?
Too easy to get, right? Which is why, like, if I don't win a pro card next Saturday, I'm like, okay, like, it's just part of the challenge.
Yeah.
Exactly, right? So, and I think, you know, it's, my husband's reading a book right now called The Comfort Crisis, and it's all about how as a society we've become soft and too comfortable.
I love that
we forget that. It's really interesting. The human brain is actually conditioned to problem solve, but we've deconditioned ourselves from that over time in the last 100 years because of everything we have accessible to us.
So we have to
remember that as a human being, our brain is designed to face challenge and to face problems. So I just took it and framed it all into like that story that mm-hmm. this is all part of it.
And I remember it really quick when we talked about that, because I was like, she said, she's been doing this a long time and she had this goal and she's done it before in a different federation. And when we talked that time that like, not only was her show canceled, but it looked like the next show she was aiming for was canceled. I was like, this is just part of your story,
right?
Like, it's all about perception. Like, I hate to throw that around because we've talked about how sometimes perception can just be like the way that people kind of band-aid stuff so they don't have to face it, you know,
right.
And be like, well, it's all about perception.
Yeah.
Right. But it really was like, we had like a sit down of like, this is going to be like, why whenever you get to where you want to get, it's going to mean so much.
Totally.
Because it would have just been so easy,
right?
You know, to just go and everything just flow. Like, it's almost like life had to like be like,
100%.
No, Carrie, you have to go over these hurdles to get where you're going.
Absolutely.
And I think that those are like a lot of the things that I see is that those moments come for a lot of people, like even specifically in the dieting world, right? Like, they'll hit that hiccup and then they're like, well, keto didn't work, let me try paleo now. Or
program jumpers.
Right. Like, oh, paleo didn't work. You know, I didn't really lose the 10 that I wanted. So let me try this now. And every obstacle is the reason to jump ship and go try the next thing. And your whole situation got canned and you just turned and said, okay, well, we keep moving forward.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't say, well, now I'm going to X, Y, or Z thing.
Right.
Right. Because, and brings me back to the goal was very true and very ingrained. Yeah. And it's something that you really wanted to do. So if it's not now, then it's later.
Yeah. Right.
But it's still happening.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and you know, then I got through, you know, if I could just carry it through, because then I got thrown the loop of like, oh, June's canceled now. Mm-hmm. And there was the July in Dallas, but my body at that point was just like, no, you need to stop. Right. Cause eventually your body can't stay in prep mode. Right. So I went into a growing season and I knew that my growing season was going to be longer than I'm used to.
Cause we're in a pandemic.
Yeah. Like, and so my growing season was May until February. So it was a long growth season for myself, for what I'm used to. But, and I knew that, so that's where I knew that if I didn't make some decisions to keep myself engaged, that I was like, because I'll be the first one to say my growing seasons in the past were never really great. You know, it was like, oh, one free meal a week turns into 3 free meals a week, you know, and I'll skip the workout this time. But the drive to get on that stage was so intense that I was like, okay, I need to show up for this growth season like I've never shown up before. And so what I did to, like, I think, of course, like doing the four pillars of mindset that I teach and I do myself was imperative. But I think the biggest thing that I did was staying engaged with the team.
So important.
And like, I was like, no, I am going to immerse myself in everything team forever and everything WBFF. Mm-hmm. I flew to the Dallas event
to
be there. Yeah. I didn't fly to, but I was at Miami. We were in Orlando. Like, I've been to as many WBFF shows that I could go to. I've been at, you know, all of our team photo shoots.
Well, since Dallas, we've only missed one. We didn't go to the Bahamas.
That's right.
It's the only show we've gone to in a year.
We went to all the ones that they could have.
Yeah, exactly. So I was like, you know, I was like, and I remember even having a conversation with my husband. I was like, okay, I know that this is going to cost money, right? It's like, realistically, I'm going to fly to Dallas. I'm going to buy the pretty dresses and all that stuff. Like, I knew it was going to cost money and I wasn't even getting on stage. But for me, when a goal is so important to you, it, like, the investment is an investment itself, you know? And so showing up to the photo shoots, showing, you know, staying engaged in the team conversations, even though I wasn't getting on stage, rooting for the other girls, watching the event. And in the end, like, I think that was like the best thing that could have happened to me, because like, I'm getting on stage
fully knowing,
and I've never been, it's the best, like, I've never been on stage. Everybody who's with the WBF thinks I have. Most people think I already have my pro card. Yeah. I'm like, I haven't even stepped on the stage yet. But that's just from being around,
right?
And immersing yourself in the community, right? And so, like, I already feel like the WBFF is my home, even though I haven't stepped on their stage yet.
Yeah.
And that for me is like, this year has been priceless for that.
Mm-hmm. And the hiccups were not just shows were canceled. Like, gyms were closed. There was scarcity with food. Like, you know, couldn't get toilet paper. It was for, in our world, the things that we needed to continue to pursue this endeavor were very limited.
Yeah,
to get very resourceful.
So it wasn't just, well, they canceled your shows.
Yeah.
It was, they canceled our shows and they closed the stuff we needed. And like, the whole world shut
and
down.
And we drove, I remember I was like, I'm not letting anything get in our way. I remember we drove down and like borrowed weights from you guys. And brought, and like,
because there wasn't even weights to buy.
I know. We tried,
nothing.
Everything was gone. You couldn't
everything
buy anything.
Gone.
We were, we lived in a condo at the time. So I called them my hallway workouts. I was in the hallway all the time and my cardio became using 44 flights of stairs, which I still don't ever want to go back and do that again. But, you know, I pivoted everything in order to make that happen, you know? And I mean, and then I got hit with COVID myself, which was a whole other thing that took me out. And, you know, actually COVID didn't take me out though. After effects, you know, but I mean, you just have to keep, you know, I read this really great quote during COVID: are you adapting to win or are you adapting to lose? And I was like, that was just like, adapt to win, you know, like, really, like, make the pivots so that you're winning, not losing. And it, you know, it changes the game.
Good.
I love what she said about the investment is in the investment of self, because I feel like a lot of times people don't. Is that exactly what you said?
Yeah, it was an investment in self.
Investment,
yeah, investment
in
my goal.
You know, because you know how much, while you're not necessarily a fitness coach anymore, right? And while there isn't really a thing attached to this goal other than
intrinsic
for yourself, like your achievement, your accomplishment, like there's really nothing connected business-wise. You still decided that the investment, both financially and with time and with effort, with everything is important because it's you. That gets missed because of what you said earlier to bring it full circle, because the driver is, I just need to lose the weight and I just need to do this, and not necessarily like, how do I shift stuff, and not necessarily from a scarcity mindset.
Yeah, no, 100%. You know, when somebody said to me years ago, it was actually a consultant that we hired who was very expensive, so that's probably why he said this to me, but he made the comment to me that if the investment you made is worth it, you'll never think about the investment again. And I can honestly say that I haven't once gone back and been like, oh my gosh, it's cost me so much money to fly to Dallas. Like the feeling, like for me personally, like that connection that I got from being there was so powerful. And it just drove me that much more into wanting it, that like, I was like, whatever, I don't even know how much it costs, right?
Yeah.
And like the thing for me is that like, we got one life. Right? You know, and I mean, this is like so rhetoric, but if you've only got one life, why wouldn't you go all in on yourself? Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm not saying like that in a selfish way, like don't disregard, you know, don't put yourself in a situation where you're forgetting your family and your bills.
Be irresponsible.
Like, don't be irresponsible, right? But for me, I am a better mom. I am a better wife. I'm a better coach.
Say it all the time.
For everybody in my world, when I'm in alignment with my goals, you know, and like the last, like, I mean, this is my favorite part of the prep, like the last 4 weeks. It's like, I'm just like on, like, I can't sleep at night because I'm just like so excited, like all the organizing and all this stuff and getting what I need and the shopping. And it's just so much fun for me that like, but I'm so driven by it. I'm inspired.
It pushes you.
You know, and I was talking about this a couple weeks ago that, you know, people like have to understand the difference between motivation and inspiration, right? Motivation is an external source that's coming into you. So it's the YouTube videos you watch, it's the meme you read or whatever. That's an external source that's coming into you. And it doesn't have sustainability. Motivation's fleeting, right? Inspiration's intrinsic. And inspiration is the thing that keeps driving you forward. And you can't find that outside of yourself. So that's why, you know, counting your wins, which is one of the things that we do, is so important. Like every day, looking at what did you do today that pushed you forward towards that goal? Because I think that the greatest thing you can be is your own greatest inspiration. You know, like be inspired by yourself, go after it because you're like, holy crap, look at what I've done.
Yeah.
You know, and not in like an arrogant way, like in a very humble way, just be able to say like, you know, like I'm damn proud of what I've accomplished.
100%.
And that, I'll be honest, like that's the thing that drives me forward.
That is the biggest takeaway, in my opinion, of this whole process that I've gotten, that I've seen people get time and time again, if they allow it, like we always say, is that satisfaction of what you were able to do.
Totally. You know, I was, you know, I tested a peak week a couple weeks ago and it was so funny. I was messaging one of my friends and I was like, every mirror I walk by, I'm like, oh, look at that. Look at that. You know? And I'm like, oh my God, I can see my IT band. I've never seen that before. You know, like my body is just on point, even better than last time. And it's like, part of me is like, I feel almost shy saying that every mirror I'm like flex and, you know, and all this stuff, but it's because like every little striation that shows up, you know, and I'm sure like you guys can relate, like people are looking for the big change, right? But you gotta train your eye to see the small change. Yeah. Right. And when I see that, I just feel so proud that, you know, cause this prep had a lot of curveballs thrown at me that I just so proud that I didn't miss a beat along the way. Mm-hmm. And it just fuels me to keep going.
There's so many things that you've been saying that I could have interrupted at any point in time.
You're so good. This is why we are the best non-interrupter. We are the worst.
This is why we officially have like 25 conversations going that are never going to end.
Right.
That we've started over the last 6 months. Go.
But there were so many there because, you know, 90% of the people that I coach are women. Mm-hmm. And of that 90, 90 are moms.
Right.
And I see how they pour into their kids.
Yeah.
And how little they pour into themselves. And it doesn't matter how I can equate an explanation mathematically about how much more you'd be able to do if you poured into yourself.
The oxygen mask.
It just, like, it's the simplest explanation, right? Oxygen mask on you first.
Totally.
Yet,
you can't help the person if you pass out.
Right. Yet it's so hard.
Yeah.
And it's so frustrating sometimes on this side because I can see, you know, I can see the road ahead is what I say.
It's your famous saying.
But listening to what you're saying, it's the thing that separates them from getting what they want ultimately. Mm-hmm.
Always,
you know,
always.
They, you know, yeah. There's such a selflessness about being a mom. Yet, if you were a little bit more in tune with you,
yeah,
you would show up so much better.
Yeah. And you've even said it to where they'll give you some sort of excuse or reason for something. You're like, imagine if your kid told you that.
Well, I listen, if I'm talking to a mom that has kids, that's my angle.
Yeah.
Because if your kids showed up with their homework the way you are showing up for your diet and workout, would you allow it?
Mm-hmm.
If your kids gave you that excuse for that, would you allow it? Like, no.
Yeah.
So then don't do it to your kids. 100%. And if you're like, you know, I can go on.
Yeah,
but
practice what you preach.
You know, interestingly enough, the statistic on that, because I happen to have it, is 78% of women list themselves as their last priority.
Oh,
78% of
that
women.
That is so, that's like, sad. It makes me want to cry.
Right? It's astronomically huge. And I think that there's kind of like a roundabout way that I think we have to understand it, is because I agree wholly with you. I mean, I face that in my work with the Unstoppable Woman Project all the time, right? Women who just are not able to put themselves first. And I think the first thing that I have two things I want to say. The first thing I have to say is that I think that the reason we have that immediate gratification pull, like it needs to change now. And when it doesn't, we abandon it. And all of a sudden we start taking care of everybody else again. Is because I don't think we're really, actually, I know as human beings, we're not good with dealing with emotional pain. We perceive emotional pain as the end of the world, right? I'm overweight, I feel insecure, I feel gross, and that makes me have to hate myself. We can be, like, I'm just going to say it, like, you can be fat and not hate yourself.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with, like, when I'm in, like, my growing season, I'm always like, oh, I'm like 20 pounds heavier right now or whatever, right? And people are like, oh, but you look great. I'm like, I'm not saying I don't look great.
Right.
Like, there, you can be overweight and not have to hate yourself for it, right? So as a human being, what we tend to do is we take the situation and we attach the emotions to them. And by attaching the emotions to them, what we're doing is we're adding suffering. And when we add suffering, well, what do we want to do? We want to strip away suffering,
right?
Because the human brain perceives suffering as threat. And so we push it, right? So
it paralyzes people.
Right. Like, I think we need to get better at knowing that emotional pain is not going to break us, right? That's the first thing. And then the second thing, like, I mean, I post about this all the time because people are like, oh my gosh, you look so good.
And if you're not following Carrie, like,
yes,
she is on all platforms.
You must.
We'll link it.
I'm somewhere. Yeah. Not LinkedIn, because I don't even know how to spell that. Whatever. But our businesses, I don't take care of that. But, you know, I do think that, you know, people, like, I'll get these messages from people like, oh my gosh, you look so great and you're shredded and they're so impressed. And I always give the answer, yeah, and it took 6 years to get here.
Right.
Well, really, it took 10 and 20, like, since I was 16. But people don't see that, they don't see the 6 years ahead of this, right? And I never, ever want to be that person. Like, even in our own business, we don't promote off of, like, quick fixes, ever. I think that's disgraceful for people to do, because there's no sustainability. You know, as I'm going to quote Pitbull, it's not about making it, it's about maintaining it. It's not about losing the weight, it's about maintaining the weight.
100%.
And so, like, I've been at this consistently for 6 years. So now I have perfect preps, right? I when people, like, look at me like, how close did you get to your macros? I'm like, how close did I get to my macros? I hit them.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I don't even understand the question anymore, but that wasn't always the case. And I think that people have to appreciate that journey and recognize that you're forging the path to your version of perfection, whatever that is. There's never perfect, right? But it's about getting better every single day. And, you know, 6 years ago, when I kind of started back into this, because I took some time off from physique training to try every sport under the sun, but I found myself back in physique training. When I came back, you know, I remember my non-negotiables were, you know, Friday night cheat meals and a glass of wine every night. And, you know, this, and I can't remember what they were. There's a list of things, right? And I wouldn't budge from them. But what happened is as I elevated, my non-negotiables started to shift, right? And so people look now and they're like, oh my gosh, you have a perfect prep. Like, how do I get there? And I'm like, keep practicing.
Yeah.
That's how you get there. You can't fast track that, because you have to appreciate that the brain is tracking a process, and so is the unconscious mind, and that you're putting what I refer to as positive proof in the bucket with every prep you do, every competition you do, every time you get better.
We're literally talking about that this morning.
Whatever the goal is, whether it is a competition or
not. I think that the goal is irrelevant, but
right.
the process itself
yeah.
of doing the work day in and day out, and these short victories along
100%.
The way
yeah,
are what solidify yeah. that you're, but I think that sometimes people miss the short victories because they're always focused on the end goal.
Where they're not yet.
Yeah. And then they let those misses derail them along mm-hmm. the way.
Yeah.
And they never get to that end goal.
But know? Every little milestone is proof. And to go back to, you know, when you're saying a lot of women in your group or that you just coach don't really have the ability to put themselves first. I would even say, put yourself equal.
Yeah.
If you can't put yourself first, I get it.
Yep.
I'm a mom. I'm a wife. I can't tell you that I think I'm more important than them or than their well-being, even though I truly believe that pouring into my cup makes me show up better for them, right? It makes me show up better as a human all around. But don't put yourself first then. Put yourself equal.
At least.
Yeah. And
at
start
least.
With like the, you know, I start with this, like start small, right? Like I had a client a couple of weeks ago who was telling me she just has no time at all. And she's, you know, she's suffocated, right? And I was like, so like, let's not aim to get to the gym 5 days a week for
right.
an hour and a half. Let's aim to take a 5-minute walk by yourself at the end of the day,
mm-hmm.
you know? And she was able to do that. And, but then from that, she was able to add on and add on and add on. And I think the reason I don't think people do that so easily is because of that emotional pain.
They want
insecurity.
All the things.
Exactly.
It's like, you know, he has a very flexible approach to coaching and to food and very non-conventional in a way that truly works emotionally because it heals a lot of people's relationship with food, which is so important. But also to achieve their goals. And a lot of times people are so thrown off by that. Like, what do you mean all this food? What do you mean all these different things? It's like everyone wants the crazy, insane, I need to suffer. Mm-hmm. No one wants to take a 5-minute walk mm-hmm. or to count their 5 wins. They want it all,
and they
start going to do for more than a few days.
Right. Yeah, the 5-minute walk is the most achievable, of
yes.
100%,
because it doesn't require much effort,
yeah.
and you can do it today.
But in a moment of desperation,
you will find 50 minutes of why you can't
right.
do this
or
5-minute walk.
50 minutes of watching the TV,
right?
Yeah, just walk in place while you watch the TV, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's I remember, you know, years ago, Brian was telling me a story that he had a client who was trying to get back into the gym, and it was just not working, right? And he literally prescribed, "I just want you to put your gym clothes on, go in the gym doors, and leave. Don't even work out. Just get into the habit of going." And we don't appreciate habit change enough, right? Habit change is so. Our brains, let's get sciencey for 1 second. Our brains' job is to keep us safe and away from perceived threat. And any habit change, as much as the brain loves change, but any habit change you throw in, the brain is going to perceive as threat. So if you all of a sudden decide, I'm going to get up at 5 a.m. every day and go to the gym, your brain's going to be like, whoa, what's
yeah.
going on here?
No, you're not, bitch.
So, and so that's why when we try to do these big changes, for
all that one.
Very few people there, I won't say for everybody because there's like kind of like this like 1%er
right.
that they're just kind of born with these
the outlier.
Mindset. Yeah. yeah, the outliers, right? Which are the ones that everybody's listening to.
Right.
right? like, let's go do what they did. But most people can't make that change because there's just too many things scientifically in your brain and your unconscious mind fighting it. So if you want to create the real change, start small and work up to big. To the point that
and that's one change. Imagine the ones that are making 10 changes.
I know.
Like,
you say
then,
that all the time. You
yeah.
can't change everything at once.
You know, slow
yeah.
down.
Yeah.
One thing at a time. One big question that I had, because again, statistically, I do coach more women than men, and it's been like that forever. What do you think? Because we talked about it at the beginning. That's why I'm circling back. What do you think more women should think about or consider when looking at a goal like getting on stage that they may not be considering or maybe the reason that they're putting it off is whatever story they're telling, but what do you think that they should consider when they look at that and be like, wow, it would be so cool, but not me?
That's a really, really good question. You know, I think that So two things. The first thing I would say is I think, you know, life is really about adventure and discovery and just experiences. So why not? Like, I know that that's such a simple thing to say, but why not? If you feel yourself pulled to it, you have nothing to lose with trying. And nobody wants to, I just was actually at the mall shopping for show stuff for the fourth time in a row. And I saw this girl who had a shirt on that said, die with memories, not dreams. And I was like, that's such a great thing because like when you die, you can't go back.
Right.
Right. So if it even tickles you a little bit, do one show and experience it. Right. That's the first thing. The second thing that I would say is, you know, this is like come like full, like, into my sightline recently. So few women, I'm gonna risk saying this publicly, feel like women. They don't feel feminine. We have grown complacent as a society and settled for mediocre. And for a lot of women, and I sometimes get people backlash me on this one, it's not about the external things. It's not about, everybody doesn't have to do their makeup every day. Everybody doesn't have to do their hair every day, right?
Everybody doesn't need abs. I say it all the time.
You do need to ask yourself why you're not, right? What's stopping you? What's holding you back from running a comb through your hair? Like the number of women I know who, I just kicked off this group for women. It's basically just a goals group, accountability. And like three of the women started just washing their face and brushing their hair in the morning more purposefully. And they feel like 10,000 times better. Right. And it's like, so why have you grown so complacent with wanting to feel whatever you feel feminine, like whatever that is, the definable for you. Right.
Right.
Like I love my hair, my makeup, my clothes. It's like a very meditative place for me. And some people can mistake that as vanity. It's not vanity. Like I could care less what everybody thinks I look like. It's about me. It's about when I walk out the door, I feel great. And I think that whole deprioritization of self as women has allowed us to accept that I just don't have time. I don't have time to, you don't have time. I mean, you put on sweatshirts and sweatpants. You don't have time to, you know, put on a shirt that you maybe feel a little bit better in. Because if you get really down to the basics with women on this kind of stuff and you ask them vulnerably, I've never met anybody who's like, oh yeah, I'm happy with this. Like when they're, when you poke the bear a little bit, no, they might defend it a little bit. Until they're like, okay, wait a second. No, I don't feel sensual. I don't feel like a woman. I don't feel feminine. Again, whatever that means to you. And so for me, stage is, especially with the WBFF, like stage is like the essence for me of being able to step into your feminine energy. I say it all the time.
And if you've ever heard Laisa's story about why she picked the WBFF, that's exactly what she said. Mm-hmm. You know, she was looking for the goal she wanted to, and then she saw that, and that is exactly what she felt
100%.
When she saw the women on stage.
Yeah, and when I experienced it, that's exactly what I felt too. Feminine and pretty and sexy, everything about it, not just the moment on stage under the lights, you know, the learning how to pose, learning how to make modeling faces, doing photo shoots, stepping out of your shell, feeling really good about yourself.
The amount, I mean, we've coached a lot of people to the stage, but the amount of women that have said, I haven't worn a bikini ever.
I know, right?
You know?
Ever.
The amount of women that said.
And it's not that you need to. It's that
you
know
wanted
to.
If you wanted to.
But you wanted to and you didn't.
Yeah.
And this platform made that possible for you.
Yeah. I've never met one person through the WBFF, like on our team or else, because I've connected with a lot of people who are like, oh, I wish we didn't have to wear an evening gown and sequins and heels.
Ever.
Tonight.
No.
Like nobody ever, like it feels glorious to feel glamorous.
And to feel pretty.
And it's
and
like,
you know what I think a lot of times too, women feel, and we've talked about this, that if you feel pretty, that you're gonna be full of yourself or standoffish. You can feel pretty, be like, wow, I look great.
Yeah.
And that not be a bad thing. That's the opposite. It's a great thing. You're not full of yourself. You're not, even if it is vanity, fuck it. Have it be vanity if it makes you happy.
Yeah,
you know, and being able to have that changes everything else, because if you feel good and it goes beyond the body, right?
Totally.
Getting more feminine. I've seen a lot of girls on our team change their wardrobe. A lot of them say how much more size they have with
their
husbands.
Hair and stuff. It's so fun.
Yeah, how much more they post. How much their friends are like, wow, you're so different. You're so happy. You know, their husband is so happy that they're happy. It's like everything changes.
It's
not just all of a sudden you have abs. Like it's not, the abs are the least of it.
Yeah.
Really.
You know, it's really interesting when you say it, because like up until the last like couple of weeks, like I don't even, it was probably like 4 weeks ago that I was like, I haven't even done an ab check. Like, yeah. I've been so not focused even on what, like, I was trying, I was, you know, take my check-in pictures, do all that stuff, but I hadn't been, like, focused on where my physique was going until I was like, oh, yeah, maybe I should do my, check my abs and see where I'm at, you know? But because it is an internal thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't care, like, every human being will feel more alive, more connected, more passionate if they spend their days aligned to achieving things for themselves, whatever it is, mm-hmm. right? It's just the way
and,
it works.
And all those moments, right? And all of those feelings that are so much bigger than the transformation itself. I remember a few years ago, I was thinking about it, but I couldn't articulate it. For me, it was Jason who actually put it mm-hmm. in words. You know, it's like, this is what we do, but this is our vehicle to make all this happen.
Yeah.
The food and the training is just how we do it.
Yeah,
and these transformations are so much more than the abs and the mm-hmm. glutes and what you look like on stage that day.
Totally.
Because the journey to that moment and then after, because the after is so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Who you leave that weekend 100%. As is so cool.
And you get to leave like each time even better.
Yes.
100%.
Like, you know, so if a couple of years ago, I'll give an example. Like, this is why my brand that I do with women is called Unstoppable. There was several years ago, I was in the middle of a prep for a photo shoot, and this is my Pitbull story. So my daughter, it was in love with Pitbull, and we happened to get her tickets to one of his shows. Like, I think it was like 2017 or something like that. I don't remember. We got her tickets to one of her shows, and one of my clients happened to message me and say like, hey, you know, I know him. I can get you tickets to meet him backstage. Would you like that? I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I would love that. Of course, of course. And that day, I remember we met him and it was like a great interaction and all that stuff. But I left that day, like I was in alignment with myself. I was unstoppable, right? And I went home that day and I messaged my client. And I was like, you know what? I was so inspired by his message because his message aligns with our message very closely. I was like, could you just please message him and send him this message for me? And she did, and he responded. And he was like, you know, how about you give her my number? And the whole time I'm sitting here going, okay, this is like, I've now officially been given Pitbull's number. Like, what do I do with this now, right? But I was coming up on a photo shoot. So I just finished my photo shoot. And I remember that day, like, I had the music pumping in the studio was Pitbull's, because now I have a connection to the alignment of our messages and stuff like that. And when I was done that photo shoot, like, if I hadn't been in my unstoppable self, I would have never done this. I sent him the pictures of my photo shoot. And I was like, you need to know that you were a great inspiration behind this photo shoot. And 3 weeks later, he flew me down to Miami to go and meet with him to talk about some stuff. And now we're kind of, you know, moving some stuff forward with him in business. But my whole point behind that is like, that is what you get when you move towards what you want for your body, your heart, your soul, your mind. It's body, mind, and soul, right? Body, mind, body doesn't just imply like health on the inside,
right?
You know, it's our outsides as well. Yeah. And you will be unstoppable. And that's what you get from the WBFF in my opinion.
If you allow it, because we have seen a few instances where people will go through the journey with the wrong driver,
mm-hmm.
right? With the wrong desperation behind it, just being weight loss. And they don't allow all of the other stuff to happen.
Yeah.
We've also seen people that go through it without really having any expectations, like me. Like,
right.
I did not go into it being like, I'm going to come out a completely different person on
at
the
all.
Other side.
And
I had no
like,
fucking
whoa,
idea.
Who am I?
I just wanted to like achieve something. Like, I
right.
didn't even know what that was going to do for me.
Right.
You know, but
oddly enough, you know, and I'm sorry to cut you off. The first thing that she said when she got off stage is, I need more people to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not in her personality.
At all.
She's not a, let
no,
me
not
stop.
Not a people
person.
let's
make it really clear.
I don't like it.
You know, it's
but it was the first thing
yeah.
she said.
Literally, because what I was thinking.
She's like, somebody else has got to do this.
Because I did the show in Orlando, and I knew that 6 months later there was one in Miami.
2 years ago today.
Yes.
Three years ago today.
And I remember knowing already that Miami was next because I had my eyes originally set on Miami,
right.
But it was a year away. And
right.
he's like, a year is too long. You need one in 6 months. If you like it, do the other one 6 months later. So I got off stage already knowing, like, if I like this, I'm going to do it in Miami because Miami is my hometown and
right.
we're there. But I remember getting off and being like, holy shit. At first I was like, oh my God, what just happened? I don't remember anything.
Adrenaline rush, right?
And
like,
I am
yeah.
not a center of the room person. I'm super shy. Well, I was super shy.
Because everybody just laughed out loud.
Wait, what?
I would never even done this ever. Right. I wouldn't even have a conversation with like five people at once, let alone get behind camera. But I remember walking off and being like, there has to be one other woman who wants to do this in Miami in November. Like one, like I just needed to take, I needed, like, I realized like I had lived my life for like 3 years at that point, 2 years for everybody else but myself. And I didn't really realize that until that moment.
Yeah.
Like I was taking care of the house. I was taking care of the kids and, you know, I didn't realize, like I had taken care of him. He got really sick for a while. I didn't realize how I had been completely on the back burner and how alive I felt. It had nothing. I didn't win. It was nothing like that.
Alive.
It was just, I came alive and I was like, holy shit. Like I can be my own person and still. So in my first thought was like, I need another mom because I felt like I was pretty, I was never confident. Or, you know, like I would have never done something like that before kids, but after my kid, like it really went down. Yeah. Like I really wouldn't have done it. So it's like, I just thought of moms immediately.
Totally.
I'm like moms because moms pour into other people so much.
You know, and that's like, I agree with that. All of that, I could not agree with more. And for me, it actually brings me to the team, to be honest with you. Cause like I've never in my life been able to find people who align with me that are close to me in fitness. Mm-hmm. Like when I mean geographically close, mm-hmm. right? So I've never really been like the group person. I lead groups, but I've never belonged to many groups because let's be honest,
people,
let's be honest,
humans,
groups of women can go very, very wrong very often. But you know, for me, like Team Forever has become like, I mean, I get emotional thinking about it because they are family. Mm-hmm. Like we are all stepping on, whoever's stepping on stage, because not the whole team, like, but we're all stepping on stage next weekend together. And I've watched their journeys, the ones who've already competed. And there's such a camaraderie, like I'm even getting goosebumps because for me, like that's even more important than almost anything else. Like, you know, Maslow's hierarchy of human needs for self-actualization, after, you know, physiological needs like house, food, and all that stuff. The second thing is safety. The third thing is belonging. Mm-hmm. You need to feel like you belong to something bigger than yourself in a community. And like Team Forever for me has been like one of the greatest gifts to be a part of it and to share the experiences and have women who get it. And, you know, we're all in it together, you know, like most of my visualizations about show weekend have to do with like behind the scenes.
Backstage, post, and post show.
It was only like not a word of a lie. The first time I started imagining myself on stage was last night. I have not imagined myself on stage because I just hadn't gotten there yet. But last night, I'm like, okay, my routines are down. And finally, last night, I couldn't go to sleep because I was running through every round in my head. I was like, can I sleep now, please? But like, all of the imaginations I have are around the people that we're celebrating with. You know, and they're, you know, I was there cheering on a lot of them in Dallas last year. And now they're like, they're also excited for me to finally get on stage. Like, it's just this beautiful family that like, I think that everybody, when you're embarking on some sort of journey, having people to be with you is so important. It makes it magical.
Yeah.
Yeah. Community is so important. And we never set out to do that.
Yeah,
we never set out to do any of it.
You just do it.
We, you know, and it was literally
after that moment. I was like, there's got to be one woman at the gym that
we didn't
do
sit down and say, you know what, we could do,
we could
build these teams. And
at all.
That wasn't it.
All
it was
sudden,
one
like,
person.
Everybody just keeps.
I just wanted one. I'm like, if one other if I can change someone's life
like this,
like the way I just experienced one person, it's my life's mission. Yeah. One person. That's all I need.
Every
and
woman
I feel like I made a difference
way.
In the world.
Yeah. Every woman deserves to feel that way. Every woman deserves to feel that way.
Yeah, that's it.
It's we could talk for another 5 hours.
Yeah,
probably.
But we gotta go
because Kara has her chiro appointment.
I know.
We have like 5 minutes left, like because everything where we live is 5 minutes away.
I know,
right.
Basically.
But I really wanted to chat with you before your show so that after
we got into the after,
because after you actually do it, it's gonna be so great to hear
like full story.
That like
I can't wait to share.
You know those 16 months.
of
waiting and finally it fulfilling itself and how it played out.
Yeah.
that story is going to be so much, there's so much to it because we've been a part of it with you since inception.
Yeah.
And to see it play out and to then be able to talk about it after is going to be so cool.
I'm so excited. I can't wait. Yeah. I'm just like, I really am. I mean, I think everybody on the team either loves or hates me because every morning I do the countdown. Every morning I'm like, psst, we're hitting single digits tomorrow, ladies, right? I hope that most of them, you know, like we're all
100%.
You know, it's
and it doesn't matter. Honestly, like the beautiful thing, like you said about this group, is that everyone should be themselves.
Yeah.
There's always the quiet people who don't have anything to say but are taking it all in. There's the more vocal people. We are all in different levels and phases, and you know, and at the end of the day, all still doing the same thing together.
But I think
no one has to worry about so-and-so does this. Like it's just not that kind of group.
I think that one of the things is certainly that I can see from the outside is how everybody does cheer everybody on.
100%.
And it's so important to have that.
That's all that matters.
Yeah. That's all that matters,
all that matters.
In this team environment.
You feel like you're like, I remember when I was like watching in Dallas, like my heart was racing for the girls
for
on stage, you know? And I remember very particularly when Julie came out, like I started crying. I was just like, because you end up feeling like it's your journey too. You know,
because
you
were a part of it.
Yeah, it's just,
it's like seeing your kids up there.
It's magical.
You know?
It's so exciting.
Well, we can't wait to chat with you again.
Yeah.
In like 2 weeks.
We've got so much to talk about.
Every single week. I know.
There's so much to talk about. Like, this could have gone on and on and on. Because honestly, when I said there were so many things going through my mind when we were talking, I meant it literally. Like,
yeah. And we got to get Brian here too.
Yeah. But there were so many things. There are so many things that I think a lot of the people that maybe watch our show that are meeting you for the first time can benefit from that you pour out. So again, 100%. Like if you are not following her, it'll be in the link. I'll put links out to her social media pages. Mm-hmm. But I definitely think that we have to have not just one more conversation, but several.
Yeah.
Weekly coffee.
Yes. All right,
guys.
Thank you for watching.
Make sure that you do the podcast stuff and like and share and comment. And, I don't know, rate, whatever it is that people do.
We're on so many cameras.
I know
where we are.
It's so good. But this will be on YouTube, Spotify, iHeartRadio, SoundCloud, and all that other stuff later.
I don't know how to work any of this.
Just hit
camera one, camera two, camera three.